Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Worst First. We have a very special guest on this episode of Worst First. In fact, so special that we're shooting it outside, and we have the ambiance, we have a little pumpkin, and we're all ready for Halloween. And just like apropos for Halloween, we have Miss Justine Cross here, who is a dominatrix. So I wore my little, I tried to be fabulous like you, and I brought this. I spanked myself halfway through this episode of Worst First.
You're totally fabulous.
Am I doing a good job?
You're doing a great job.
Okay, all right. Yes, she's like, wow, what a loser. When she leaves, she's like, wow, get out of here. She's her partner here. I love it. I'm so excited to have you here. I put out feelers to have a dominatrix on the podcast a few weeks ago, and then I had some people reach out, and then someone referred you, and then I heard that you were like, oh, you're looking for one, and then I found you. And I was so intrigued by your page because you have like so much. I mean, it's just all latex, and you have dungeons. You have dungeons.
Mm-hmm. Yes, I do.
Dungeon East and Dungeon West.
Correct.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So many questions, just so interested. What made you want to get into being a dominatrix?
Well, I graduated with degrees in literature and psychology. Oh, and wow. With a liberal arts education, you just kind of have to go into sex work. No, it was something I was interested in my personal life. And then I moved out here after college and started working at a dungeon. And like, I knew a few people who did it professionally, and I said, okay, I can do this. I'm into it. Let's do it. And then it just kind of snowballed from there. And like, I worked part-time at a commercial space, which means, like you're on a shift, like, you know, like a stripper, like at a club or something like
right.
that. And then I became an independent dom. And then from there, I needed my own space. So I got Dungeon West. And then that was really wonderful and great and lucrative. And then I needed another space. So then I got Dungeon East.
Wow.
So just like different things move, you know, it just grew.
So do you have to have any kind of like specific training to learn how to be a dominatrix? Like, I mean, you said you started working at the dungeon mm-hmm. out of college. Mm-hmm. Like, what made you go like, oh, I want to be a dominatrix? Like, you just knew people that did it and were like, was like, that seems kind of cool.
Well, again, it was like my personal experience of love of BDSM and being dominant. And also it just felt incredibly right to me.
Yeah.
You know, that was just what I felt. And actually my friends in high school gave me this book called I Was a Teenage Dominatrix by Shauna Kenny. And they're like, we just think you should do this. And then like, you know, 6 years later, I called them up. I'm like, I'm doing this. And it was just really funny. It's a great book. It's a good memoir. So
what does BDSM stand for?
Bondage, dominance, sadomasochism.
Whoa. That's intense. So like, does it have to do with Satan?
No.
So what does sadomasochism mean? Like, I'm like totally, I have no idea about it.
Okay, well, we'll go through all the things.
Okay,
so bondage would be the act of being tied up with anything like rope or cuffs, or, you know, you can do like water bondage, like dental, you know, anything like that.
Wow.
So then dominance, any act of me dominating you, me empowering you, topping you, a lot of these words are used interchangeably. And then sadism is just the act of, deriving pleasure from inflicting pain upon someone. And then masochism would be the opposite of that, which is, you know, deriving pleasure from, you know, receiving that pain.
Wow. And people like it.
People, are you kidding me? People fucking love it.
They like, love it. They're like, rip my nipples off.
Sometimes.
They're like, yank my dick till it bleeds.
Pretty much, yes.
Really?
Yes.
And they get off from that.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Yeah. I'm a sadist, so I get off on it too.
You love it.
I love it. Yeah, I love it.
And so what do people do? They come in and they, like, how does the interaction work? Like, do they call the dungeon and say, this is what I'm looking for? How much does this cost? Like, what? Mm-hmm.
Well, it's a little different now in quarantine.
Okay, yeah, that's what I was thinking.
People.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not seeing people really in person anymore, but otherwise, it's still the same thing. It's like process of you're emailing me or you're calling me and you're talking. Well, hopefully you're filling out my booking form.
Yeah.
But, you know, you're telling me about what experience it is that you want. And then, you know, I decide if I want to have that experience with you. And generally, as long as, you know, we're compatible and it's something that I can give you, then I'll see you. If it's something that I don't want to do or I'm not really that into, I won't see you, and I'll probably refer you to somebody else who's interested in doing something like that. You know, it just depends on what you want to do. So
what's the craziest thing that you've ever done to someone?
That I could admit publicly.
Yeah, I know, right? Because you're like, I'm going to go to jail. You're like, I chopped his dick off and then I fed it to him. Oh my God.
You know, jail. Yeah, I mean, like, what's crazy? I mean, I think one of the more unique things that I've done, and I talk about it a lot, but someone had a roasting fetish and I didn't actually roast this person, but we did a very elaborate role play about me talking about cooking him and roasting him. And, you know, I turned my bondage bed into a little like serving tray. So I put like tin foil on it and saran wrap, and we had an apple and like, you know, stuff like that.
Yeah,
so that
tied was, him like, up.
Pretty, yeah. So that was pretty intense, but I mean, there's like, I've done like far, I mean, there's just so many things that I've done, but like, you know, for the Instagram audience, I'll keep it very PG. So,
I mean,
I'll
yeah.
tell you something really wild after.
I mean, you can get wild on here. There is no boundaries. There are really no boundaries. I mean, do people like, is it like they say they want to bleed? Do they do that? Do people say they want to bleed at times? Like, I want you to, you know, make me bleed.
Yeah. Some people are definitely want to take the, it to that level, like
right.
where they're breaking skin, where they're bleeding. You can do things with needles, cutting, knives. I have a friend who is really into knife bondage. She invented it basically.
What's knife bondage?
So it's a lot with like predicament bondage, but with knives. So it's like you could have your arms like out here, you know, but there's like a knife in between here and your arm or something. So it's like,
so you can't move.
You can't move because then the knife falls. But if you go too close, then it, you know, there's just different things that you can do. You can put like knives all over your body. And then she did a scene with someone where she put knives all over someone's body and then jumped up and down the bed like very lightly. And so that was really scary and fun. Yeah. So just different things, but you could just actually cut someone or pretend you're going to like pretend like you're fucking them with a knife, like all kinds of things.
And that's what people like. So that's crazy. Yeah. A person came to you and was into being roasted. Like, I wonder how one develops a fetish for that.
I don't know. He was so into it. I always talk about it because it's so unique and he has such a like sense of humor about it. He's like, I bet I'm the only one. I'm like, yeah, you are. So
he's like, I want to be cooked. Like it turns him on the fact if someone was going to cook him.
Yes. And I was talking about, I don't put my mouth on my clients, but I was talking about, I'm going to bite him and I'm going to eat him. And I was like sticking a fork in him.
Yeah.
And he wanted to hear about, then he really got into the idea of me talking about like my mother's recipes or my grandmother's recipes of how we were going to roast him and like all my girlfriends were going to come over.
Oh my God. He'd be like the worst victim for like a serial killer. Like someone who's like, what was the one who was the one who ate people was Ed Gein, right? Didn't he like make in real life? He like was it Ed Gein or Jeffrey Dahmer who would like eat people, mm-hmm. their brains? Like this guy, they'd capture him and they'd be like, "We're gonna cook you," and he's like, "Yeah, keep going. What else are you gonna do? You're gonna eat my brains?" Like he gets a boner. Yeah.
I think it's only hot when a hot woman does it.
Oh,
too, though.
Not like a
it's
dude.
Like not like a dude that's kind of a little like on the seed and like bearded. It's not as cute.
There's rules, okay?
There's rules.
You can only cook me and if it's a hot woman. Oh my gosh.
True.
So are most of the clients guys?
Yes, I would say that probably like 80% of my clientele are men. But now in recent years, I've gotten a lot of female clients.
Really?
Also clients who don't identify on the binary spectrum. Yeah. And then also I get a lot of couples now. So a lot of people are coming in and, you know, because I have the spaces. So now I'm going to be doing this virtually with people, but you know, they'll book some time with me to kind of show them around the space or be more involved in their play, get the party started. And then they have, you know, the night in the dungeon and that's a good time.
Wow. Yeah. And you teach people like what toys to get, how to use them, that kind of thing. Like people can take lessons from you too, if this is something they want to do.
Yeah. I mean, I teach regular classes, so it depends on what people want. Like I've done things that are just very sort of just BDSM instructional. And then other times I've been fully in their scene. Like I'm completely, usually it's like two women topping a male and we're totally in it together and we're, you know, being diabolical and doing different things to him and stuff like that. So yeah, it just depends on what they want to do.
And then I'm assuming like every time there's a safe word. So before you get started, mm-hmm. there's a safe word. So if they get overwhelmed or if it's too much, mm-hmm. they say the safe word.
Correct. Yeah. We always talk about, we always do a little, it's called a negotiation. So we talk about likes, dislikes, you know, safe word, anything like that. You know, any sort of medical things that we need to be clear on, you know, before we get started, for sure.
Wow. And so there's no like actual sex. It's just more like
well, you know, what do you think sex is? You know, what's the definition of sex? You know, it's like I've had a scene with a client where I was just caning him on his ass until he came.
Wow. Well,
that's sex, you know?
Yeah.
Like, that is sex. You know, and I always make the joke, I told one of my friends, like, well, you know, you could like hug someone and that feels like sex, and you could have full on peen vagine sex with someone, and you're like, that was kind of like whatever.
Without actually the insertion.
You don't feel like it's, you know, you've had some sex with people that you're like, that was like, you know, and other people you're like, ugh.
Yeah, exactly. Like they just have to look at you and you're like,
yeah, this guy's amazing.
Wow, caning on the butt. Mm-hmm. What's it? What do you use? Do you use this?
Well, that's a paddle.
Right. This is a paddle. This isn't a cane. I'm totally don't know what I'm doing.
So a cane. I know. I forgot to ask if I should bring stuff. Actually, I probably have stuff in the car. Do we have stuff in the car? No, I don't know. We're like moving. So yeah, no, a cane, just a long like bamboo cane, like a long stick.
Wow. And you wail on these people?
Yeah, sometimes.
Like hard as fuck.
If they're lucky.
If they, guys, hello. And then so then when you first started, were you nervous? Like your first time to like, if someone was like, you know, I want my nipples clamped or I want to be beat up or whatever. Like, were you scared to do that?
Actually, the first professional dom experience I had was the one I just described where I caned someone until he came and that was it.
That was your first time?
As a professional, yes.
Can you
knocked it out of the park. First shot. That's right. Yeah. No. I'm amazing at what I do. I love what I do and I'm really, really fucking good at it.
How long have you been doing this?
Over 10 years.
Whoa. That's a long time.
Yeah. In Hollywood time. That's like
100 years in Hollywood time.
In sex worker time. I'm like, how long have I been here?
I know. And so that's been really hard probably now because of COVID, because this is such a physical experience.
Well, I'm lucky that I've been able to translate everything I do to online, but I certainly miss the physical experience. I think, and certainly my clients do, you know, they're stuck in these unfortunate relationships or places where they can't, you know, express themselves the way that they want to. And that's really hard. But I think but I'm able to translate my stuff to online with clients through texting, phone, cam,
right?
These kinds of things. I've moved all the classes to online.
Yeah.
The only thing we haven't done is we haven't really translated the parties to online.
Yeah.
Because it means like I need to hire people to just be performers all night. And I haven't done that. So I really, really miss having parties with my friends and having sex with them.
I know. How long until you think that we'll go back? Like, is it just until there's like a vaccine?
Yeah,
probably.
Until there's a vaccine or there's actually, you know, accurate rapid result tests that are available widely. And, you know, and that's just not, it's really probably going to be more when there's like a vaccine or something, because the risk is just too high. And I don't want to put anyone at risk, and no one that is coming to my events is the kind of person that really is doing these high risk things. They're like very conscientious people. So yeah.
Good. Well, that's good. I'm glad you're being safe. Obviously. I know like we're outside. I love it. I'm actually like my first podcast outside. She's super safe, you guys, but there's so much. Okay. So when you get into this, like they call you mistress, right? Is that, that what it always, is there any other things they call you?
I prefer mistress. That's mistress. What I want. Yes.
Okay.
Mistress. Yeah.
And this is all about you being the boss and them being the submissive all the time, or no? Or does it reverse?
Well, it never reverses, but I wouldn't say that there's always a DS, a dom sub dynamic to the things that I do, because sometimes someone just wants to, they just have a fetish. So they might just want to worship my feet and they don't consider that submissive. They're just experiencing a fetish. And then other times, and especially I think even more now in quarantine, a lot of times people are calling me up and they just want to talk. Like we're not even having like a sexy or BDSM-y conversation. They just want to like shoot the shit with me and, you know, make them laugh and, you know, whatever. So it's just like that. So it's always still just about a connection.
I love that. Yeah. And it's still a really personal experience. Mm-hmm. And like you said, there is still a lot you can do. I mean, over cam, like literally cam girls make, I mean, they're on there all day, you know, can still like communicate and show and do all kinds of things. So is foot fetish like the biggest thing that you would say? Because you mentioned that like.
Yeah, no, everyone has feet. So,
but what makes, so there's some guys that are just obsessed with feet. Like that's the only thing, like, they love feet.
Well, it's certainly one of the, you know, the oldest professions of feet. No, yeah. the oldest fetishes because yeah. it's again, just everyone has feet. So right. we're always like sexualizing different body parts and stuff like that. But I would say something like latex is a relatively new fetish. But, right. You know, yeah, a lot of people love feet.
And I know with like with this whole with the bondage and all that kind of stuff, like people do the whole like, is it called like an imp or gimp suit, like the where they're in the hole?
Oh, yeah, I guess it's called that. I don't know if we're supposed to be, but yeah, like a full leather bondage suit or body bag or something like that,
and
like
so,
a hood.
So
yeah.
people get you put yeah. people in that stuff. Well, you yeah. did put people in yeah, that yes. stuff before mm-hmm. quarantine.
Yes.
And do they come with it or do you have it?
I have most things, but some people do bring their own things as well. If it's something really specific to them, they might have their own thing. But right. a lot of people, this is like everyone's like deep, dark secret.
Right.
You know, it's like BDSM is like this type of sex work that isn't in the public. Like a lot of people are like, oh, we're going to go to the stripper club and, you know, stuff like that. But it's like people don't have like, you know, their bondage stuff out on display.
Right.
Like, you know, I remember like meeting a client in a upscale hotel and he's like, wait, I have to wait until like my friends leave. And, you know, you're my like deep, dark secret. And I said, I'm everybody's deep, dark secret. Like wow. if I'm sitting down here, like I'm just going to see some other client of mine. You know what I mean?
Wow.
Like, so, but people are talking about it a lot more now because of, unfortunately, 50 Shades of Grey and other things. But, you
right.
know, people are talking more. And of course, here in LA, like, you know, lots of people are into this.
Kinky. So it's a lot of like high profile people. It's like the whole gamut, like everyone from high profile people to like, you know.
Yeah, everyone. Totally. Like I've seen the A-list actors and totally
really?
It's like the guy who's like saving up for like 6 months to come and see me. Oh, definitely.
A-list actors?
Oh, billion. Yes, yes. I cannot
oh
name
gosh.
Names.
Right, of course.
They didn't like, you know, make me sign NDAs, which is silly of them.
Right,
but
right.
I don't know what that's about. They have some fetish about whatever. But yeah, no, it's everybody. It's,
oh my
it's
God.
Everybody.
A-list actors wanting to get their freaking... Okay, what's the craziest thing you've done to an A-list actor?
I can't tell you.
You can't tell me?
Okay.
You don't have to tell me who it is.
Well,
can you tell me what you did?
Let me think. No, I don't want to. I don't want to
give it away.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, so.
Okay. So what's like? This is called Worst First. So obviously, mm-hmm. like we talk about some of the worst things that have happened. Have you ever had a really bad experience that you were like, "This is terrible," and I'm almost like scared of this situation or I hated this?
Yeah, I mean, I generally, because I'm in such control and I do such a great screening, I don't really have a lot of bad experiences, but I was trying to think of things like for this purpose.
Right.
And
or
I,
even just something that's super gnarly that you're like, oh my God. I mean, the roasting guy is crazy. But.
Yeah, that was like fascinating. But I think what I came up with was that was like funny and I felt like I could talk about it, but it was the first time that I mummified someone. So mummification is using saran wrap and you completely cover them like, you know, like a mummy. And
their face too?
Yeah. If they want their face. I mean, obviously you leave, you know, little breathe holes and
right,
stuff.
Right.
But, you know, so doing that. And I remember I had never done it before. And so I'm negotiating with this client and I'm like, okay, we'll do this. And he's sitting in, I'm in the dungeon. It wasn't my dungeon at the time. It was someone else's. He's sitting in this like throne chair. And I said, okay, do you want me to mummify you? And do you want me to just do it like kind of like more of like a fetish? Like, or do you want me to dominate you too when we're negotiating? He's like, oh no, I want you to dominate me too. And I said, well, good. Get the fuck out of my chair then. And I like threw him out. And then he like immediately had an erection and it was great. But here's the thing about mummification. It fucking takes forever. It takes so long. So it's like not sexy while this is happening. And then it's
so
like.
So it's like he had a boner from that. And then.
And then I was like, oh, this is all downhill. I put a blindfold on him, but I'm like literally looking at a book to how to mummify someone because I'd never done it before. And I was like.
And you're like, oh, shut up. I'm studying.
Yeah, I know. I'm like, oh man, I should have put earplugs in him. He'd hear the pages rustling.
Yeah. Like, so wait, so what you do you so, do to mummify?
You have to use a lot of saran wrap, but it's like, it's very time consuming and it's very like. Like everyone is sweating, like I'm sweating because it's like you're just going around and around and around on someone. And it's like you're so, it's like, oh God, it just takes forever. And it's like you kind of wrap them up on the top and then, you know, you kind of shove them on a bondage bed and then you do the rest. And then you got to like, if you want to like, you know, do anything with their like dick, you have to put like a like a washcloth over it and then wrap it and then like cut it out. And so you're exhausted by the end of this. Gosh. And this is why I will not do them anymore. Cause it's a workout. It's like 2 hours.
Yeah.
And the next day I'm like, oh my God, my arms are killing me. Yeah, no, for real. So, so that was funny and I feel really bad. I never saw him again and I don't blame him. So
did he like it or no? Was he
kind
of bummed?
I honestly don't think I did a good job, you know, but, I've done them since and I'm much better at it, but if he ever watches this, I'm so sorry.
Oh. You know, like,
I was young.
It's a weird fetish, dude. Like, wrap me up. Wrap me up. I want to be a mummy. Like, okay, King Tut, calm down.
Like, you know, it's just very time consuming because, like, what do you do for an hour? It's hard to kind of dom talk for that hour.
Yeah.
You kind of just want to, like, shoot the shit because it's not sexy or, like, interesting to, like, wrap someone.
Yeah.
You're just like, so Lakers fan, you know, you
don't
know,
oh my
like,
God.
You know, so
that's
you know.
That's awkward, right? Because most of the time
awkward.
So they give you permission to hit them and stuff. Like they sign a waiver saying like,
no waiver,
but they give you permission.
Correct. Yeah.
So like you could beat the shit out of them if you wanted to.
If they're consenting to it. Well, there's this interesting gray area of the law. You can't actually consent to violence unless apparently you're, you know, in sports.
But what about the UFC?
Well, isn't it funny how like there's different rules for men?
Yeah.
Weird.
Oh, well, figure.
So yeah, you can't really consent to violence, but I mean, no one's gonna like, you know,
tell.
Yeah.
Right.
And this is in the gray area of the law where it's like, because I'm not actually by law, like really having sex with clients, like I'm spanking them or they're worshiping my feet. Like that's not an issue. So,
they don't say, or you do say ahead of time, like this is how they give you like a scale 1 to 10. Like this is how much I want to be abused or certain things.
That's a really great point that you come up with the 1 to 10. Cause that's what I actually use. Like I don't use, you know, light, medium, heavy. I will say like, you know, on a scale from 1 to 10, how hard do you want me to hit you? And then if they say 5, I can, what do you want it to be at? And then I dial up and down from there.
Wow. Yeah. Oh my gosh. Okay. So what about the women? What are they like? Like, what do you do with the women?
Same. They just, you know, everyone, you know, I don't really specialize in a couple of things. I do a lot of things. I don't really have a lot of limits. I enjoy a lot of aspects of BDSM. Mm-hmm. Like I will do pretty intense scenes, like pretty intense caning scenes and, you know, very sadistic scenes, but I will also do very light scenes, like very like tease and denial or like tickling or foot worship and stuff like that. So yeah, I mean, women want similar things. Like I've, you know, being beaten up, you know, being tied up and whipped and things like that. So yeah.
Wow. Are these like hot girls coming in here being like, I want this to happen to me? Wow. That's crazy. Yeah. That is so how often and compared to men do you see women?
Not as often. I've only had like, I think I've only had 4 solo female clients but then a lot of people coming in as couples. So,
okay.
But yeah, now that I'm thinking about it, actually one of my female clients is actually very famous.
Really? Yeah. Oh my God. That's so cool.
Yes, it was. It was very cool.
Do you get shy?
Like, cool. No, cause it's like, I'm in my own space and it's like, you know, it's mine, it's me and they're coming to me and they're being super submissive, but it's like, you know, it's like you're in Los Angeles. It's like you see these famous people and you're like, wow, I totally didn't think I'd ever see you here. Like,
right.
Interesting. You know,
you like, never know what goes on behind closed doors.
Yeah. And then, you know, and also when we had parties, like a lot of, you know, like well-known people would come to the events too. And it's like some people I knew and, you know, again, I can't mention names.
Right,
it's
right.
Like, you know, some people I would know and other times people would be like, oh my gosh, do you see that? That's that person.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh my God, I don't know them. I'm not that cool.
That's hilarious. Wow.
I'm like, okay, cool. They're here. I hope they're having a good time. You know? And I'm like, would you like a cookie?
Oh my God. You're like, would you like a cookie or a nipple pinch? Which one would you like? That's so cool. Okay. Yeah. So describe like your dungeon. So you walk in, it's like, what's the situation? Like, what is the setup there? Like, what are the different options? You go into your dungeon and like people say like, what is in this dungeon? Cause I've never been in a dungeon. I wouldn't know. I'd love to check it out.
Yeah. So both dungeons are very large open floor plan studios. So some of the equipment that's in there's a bondage bed and that's like a cage with like a bed on top. And also it's like padded on the bottom. So you could tie someone up inside or on top and, you know, do different things like that. There's also a St. Andrew's cross. That's that big X.
Yeah.
So again, you can tie someone up to that or have them lean up against that. Usually people will be up there for flogging, like the whipping.
Wow.
And then other things are a spanking horse or a spanking bench. So people are bent over that. And then the spaces also have just a regular queen size bed because we do overnights and things like that.
Overnights?
Yeah. No, most the space is rented out quite often for overnight, you know, things. So
people can stay overnight with you?
Oh, no. I mean, well, if they pay me, but not right now. But
right.
It's very expensive.
Yeah,
the Dom add-on option is very expensive.
Right.
It's just like a kinky Airbnb. So, and then there's
so couples can rent it.
Yeah. That's what is happening there. And then, well, we used to do a lot of productions and stuff, but that's obviously at a standstill at the moment. So, yeah.
Guys, if you want to get kinky with mm-hmm. your partner, is that available right now for people to rent the studios to stay overnight?
Yes. Go to Dungeon East, and that's in downtown LA. And that is, it's all white. It's a very beautiful, clean aesthetic. And it also has this very famous sign, Yes, Mistress. So, which is, I give you a couple things in there from there.
Oh my God, you brought me a gift.
I brought you a tiny gift.
She brought me a tiny gift. Oh, so lighters, which my husband will use because he loves it. It says Yes, Mistress and Yes, Mistress. And this is Dungeon East.
Correct. Yes.
And this is where they would go to dungeoneast.com. Mm-hmm. Oh, it looks really pretty.
DTLADungeon.com. On Instagram, we are LA Dungeon East.
DTLADungeon.com. Mm-hmm. I will put that information all of there. That's so exciting. And I know you were selling a bunch of cool stuff too. Did it all go?
Well, the sale is this weekend for Dungeon West because we're closing Dungeon West.
Oh,
yeah,
closing Dungeon West because of time, because of COVID, huh?
Because
just hit
COVID.
Everybody hard.
Well, it's just, you know, again, I'm not using the space. The space isn't being used as much as it could or should be. It's like I'm fine, but the space is not. So it's like, you know, I gotta let this ship go to save the fleet kind of thing.
Right.
So yeah, it's like mixed feelings, but it just kind of feels okay because it's been like 8 months or 7 months of this quarantine and it's just nothing is different.
Right.
So, you know, I'm feeling happy about that we'll be selling a lot of things and it's, you know, then Dungeon West lives on and among everyone's homes and I've already done this so much and it also feels like a bit of a shedding of version one of Justine, you know, what am I going to be doing next? Well, everything, because I'm beyond the dungeon. I was telling my friends, I'm like, no, I'm beyond this planet. Like I'm, you know, in this whole other galaxy of you know, I want to do so many other things. And also it's the doing the classes that we've been doing and events through just online. You know, most of the people are in Los Angeles, but it's all over the country and all over the world.
So people can contact you, you know,
I'm,
whatever they're into and they can hire you digitally, which is great.
No, I'm getting so many more people and it's felt really wonderful. People are in Australia or England or, you know, in the middle of South Carolina or whatever. And it's just really nice. So it feels good.
You know? I love that. And that makes, you know, you more available too. So it's fabulous. We're going to take a quick break and then we'll be right back. We'll be right back with Justine Cross on Worst First. Stay tuned.
Today's episode is brought to you by Angie. Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs and projects done well. Let me tell you, there's the version of it where you try to do something at home, and then there's a version of it where you have someone help you, you watch them do it the right way, and you go, thank God I didn't try to do that myself. I have fully done things around the home that I think look good, and then a bang in the night, and I wake up to a shelf collapsing, a painting falling off the wall. I've seen it all go south. I own a home, and I can tell you, I know how much work it can take. Whether it's everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality, it can be hard just to know where to start. But now all you need to do is Angie that and find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Whatever your home project, big or small, indoor or outdoor, you can Angie that and connect with skilled professionals to get the project done well. Right now, one of my wish lists is I want a bike for my condo in Milwaukee, and I would love to rig it up on a pulley in the ceiling because I have one of those lofted ceilings, but I'm so scared to try that on my own. Angie has 20 years of home experience, and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app. Answer a few questions and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of any home project in just a few taps. Because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I.com.
Okay, we're back.
Wow, that was fast.
Super fast break. I know, it's so funny. I tell all the guests when they're here, I'm like, it's going to be literally, we're going to pause for 2 seconds and then go back to it. So you started doing this right out of college. You got a degree in psychology. So that helped you kind of like establish like the mental state, obviously, to do studying behind like what people desire, why they desire things, that kind of thing. Did that help you?
My degree in psych just honestly helps me read, you know, statistics better and journals and like understand what facts mean and, you know, reading the, you know, New England Journal of Science, you know, Medicine or whatever, rather than like CNN for news, you know?
Right.
So it's just, yeah.
And so what about like, and you don't have to answer this, but what about like your personal life? Because this is something that you do as a job. You're a dominatrix and
yes,
this is something, but you also business. Enjoy it. It's yes. your business, but you also enjoy it because you yes. said like it's part of a pleasure for you.
Yeah.
Is this something that crosses over? Like, do you go home and be like, all right, you just get like, you know, you're like, all right, time for that beat down. Like, you just got done beating the shit out of people all day. And like, you like bend your partner over. You're like, I have time to, it continues. It never stops. Is that what happens?
Not quite that way. But I mean, my partner's here and she's winking at me. But I'm moving, you know, because I'm closing Dungeon West this month and I'm actually moving into a new house. Uh-huh. And one room is going to be the dungeonette. So, and she's very excited about that.
Okay, so you guys are into it at home too.
Yeah,
it's not just like,
oh, no.
It's, take my boots off, take my latex off. Like, man, well, can't wait to have some missionary. Like, not like that.
No, it's all of that. It's all great. It's all good stuff. You know, I can't be too personal, but it's like, you know, this is a part of our personal lives. And
yes.
it is, you know, it is something that we get to enjoy with a lot of our friends in real life too. And, you know, in our parties, but it's not just like our fetish friends. Like, you know,
right.
you have some friends, like they're just your party friends. It's like, yeah, they're our party friends. And they're also our like, come over for Spanksgiving friends and have like dinner and, you know,
Spanksgiving. Yeah. Oh my God. What's Spanksgiving?
Well, Spanksgiving is just, you know, Thanksgiving at my house, and which is actually a totally nice formal sit down dinner because I cook everything and have fine china. And sometimes there is spanking, but it's actually just a very classy ass event. But it's like all the, what I say is, it's all the good shit and none of the bullshit.
I love
that. You know,
because
a lot of people like make the mistake of going home to their families, and I always try to talk them out of that.
Yeah.
And like, you know, I'm like, don't do that. Don't like hang out with racist whoever, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
No, just come over to my house. We're going to have champagne and cheese and caviar and like good
that
stuff.
That sounds fun.
Yeah. That's a good
that's
time.
That's so fun. I love that. Okay. So I just want to talk more about like when you were younger. I know you said in high school that you were given a book and your friend said, we could see you doing this. Why is that? Were you like beating people up on the playground? Were you like, get down, Krista. You get down, you little slut. They're like, damn. You're like 7.
No.
Justine. Whoa. It's intense.
Hot. No, I think I was just a bitch. You know, I just had really good boundaries. And, you know, I was just really sure of myself. And I just really like, knew what I wanted, and I wasn't afraid to speak my mind or anything like that. But it's funny because it's like in school, I was always the smart girl, and I didn't think of myself as ugly, but I never thought of myself as pretty.
Oh my God, you're so pretty.
Thank you. And so are you.
Yeah.
But I was like, but I never thought of myself as like the pretty girl until I started doing sex work and moved to LA.
Yeah.
But I never thought of myself as ugly, but I was just like, oh, I'm the smart girl. Like I'm, you know, doing these things and like, in the middle of all my tidying, I was like looking through all my awards and stuff. And I was like, oh yeah, Latin Honor Society. I'm so cool, you know, but it's like, I don't know. It's just funny. And it just, you know, this kind of work, it's like, it just turned into this whole business and career. And I just love it because I get to do, you know, I get to make people really happy every day.
They love it.
They love it. It's like, you know, not too many people have like a job or like a company that like all you do is make people happy. It doesn't cause anyone harm.
Right.
You know,
no one leaves really disappointed ever.
No, I hope not for me.
Yeah.
So, yeah. No, everyone is just having a really good time. But it's also like, you know, I've also grown with a lot of clients where it's like, yeah, sometimes it's just like we're getting our rocks off and it's like super fun like that. But other times it's like people are really growing with me and they're like, you know, I might see them solo and then they talk to their partner about it. And then they're like, okay, I talked to my partner and now they're coming in. Like I've had a couple of clients tell me that they've actually transitioned from male to female. And it was like, they said, I had such a positive experience with you and you helped me. And I might've even only seen them a couple of times, but just like, it just helps people grow so much. It's just like really,
it's a positive thing. Even getting a surprise, like beating the shit out, you know, pinching nipples, tying people up and stuff like that. It can do positive things for people.
People need it.
And what, okay, so I don't know if this is a sensitive subject or not, but like, what about your parents? What do your parents say about this? Do you talk to your parents?
Yeah, no, I do. Well, not right now, because I'm a little mad at them because they're being COVID idiots. But no, generally I do talk to them. And they're great. My father actually, when I first had Dungeon West, he came and he helped me build like a closet in there. And like, he's been there, and they've both been to, I have a stepmother, and they have both been to Dungeon East, and they're like fine. They're like very independent people. They're very entrepreneurial. And like, my father's basically retired now, and my stepmother is an artist, and she has this like, really weird crafting thing that she makes that I can't say because everyone will know who she is. It's very strange, but she's like world famous for this thing that she makes. Wow. It's so specific. But so they're very much like, oh, are you happy? And you, because they love to travel, and they're like, oh, are you happy? And you can travel, and you're independent, and you're doing well. They're like, oh, we're happy for you. It's cool.
They're cool.
Yeah, they're pretty cool.
Because some people's parents are just like, oh my God, I can't believe it. Like, they are like in shock.
I set a very good boundaries with my parents a very long time ago, and I think that is what has helped so much, because I just established what my boundaries were. And it's like, I'm also gay, I'm queer. So it's like, you know, I'm like queer, I'm a sex worker. And my parents are like, oh, we're fine, we don't care. You know, they're like, what are you doing? You're going on tour. That sounds great. You know, like, and I tell, but it's nice because the level of which I'm doing my work, I can tell them the parent appropriate things. Like, I can say, oh, I was in Los Angeles Magazine, or like, I got a write up again in Time Out Guide. And they're like, oh, that's cool. I'm not like, hey, I stepped on some dick today. You know?
Do you step on dicks?
Yes, I miss it.
Oh my gosh. She misses stepping on dicks. With these heels? Wait, show the heels.
Well, maybe not these.
Oh my God, Louboutins. She's like, I don't want any dick juice all over my Louboutins.
Not with these.
But like, pleasers.
Yeah.
Okay. Guys literally come in and they lay down, and they're like, step on my nuts.
Yeah, sometimes.
Kick them in the nuts.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Punch them in the nuts.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my God. Like, and they don't have to go to the hospital. They're like, not like in hurt.
Not on my watch.
They love it.
They love it. Yeah. I have hurt.
Like, you can full on kick as hard as you want a dude in the nuts.
Yes. I mean, if that's what they're asking for, of course. It's not like just like, hey, come to the dungeon. Yeah, I thought that's what it was.
Boom, sucker punch.
No. I have actually hurt my feet by kicking someone as hard as I could. Like, my foot hurt. Like, I'm like, ow.
Where, in the junk?
Yeah.
Do girls like getting cunt punched?
Yeah, that is a thing. I haven't had any clients ask me for that. One of my friends that I was shooting with for clips, like, she said, okay, let's do this. And I'm like, I'm sorry, I don't think I can do that to you. And she's like, oh, it's okay. You know, but
She wanted you to punch her in the cunt?
For the filming that we were doing, yes. And I was like, oh, okay, but I don't think I can do that to you. And I mean, we just did something else. It was fine. But I was like, I don't think I could do that. But it's come up so infrequently that I haven't. I'm sure I could give it the old college try.
Jeez.
But yeah.
Wow. So and then like the guys then, like, how do you know when it's like over? Is there like a clock time? Like, are you like, oh, we have 2 hours? Or is it like how do you know? Like, is it till they come? Like,
usually
you guys do like hourly?
Yeah, it's hourly. It's usually until they come. It's like the scene is usually a predetermined time. So it's ever how much money you have, however much money you bring into the room, that's how much I take. Anyway, so usually it's like they come, cause that's like the end of the scene, or sometimes people are just done and they're exhausted, because it's like BDSM is very cerebral. A lot of people in their heads. And also it's like a lot is going on. It's like, you're in the dungeon, I'm here. Like, maybe you've been fantasizing about this for 5 years. You've been stalking me for 10 and you're like, oh my God, so
it's
much
happening.
And a lot of guys can't even come. It's like, cause they've usually what happens is like, they're so excited. They've jerked off 17 times on the way there. And you're like, we got nothing left, buddy. I'm not a miracle worker. So, but it's also just overwhelming. And you know, it's usually like, okay, I know that you're done. We've reached a point. We know where it is, and you know, it's okay. And
Do you punch people in the face too? Like, if they're like, do guys like to get punched in the face or anything?
I've done that. I have done like KO punches and stuff to people, but it's really dangerous, so I don't do it anymore. Mm-hmm. You know, because I talked to a doctor about it, and she's like, "Yeah, don't do that.
Yeah, don't punch people in the head."
Yeah. She's like, "Don't do that." So I was like, "Okay, that's good." I was like, "It's nice to know that I could do it," but yeah, no, I don't do that. So I've done like various like wrestling holds and choke holds with people and stuff.
Choke,
but, yeah,
like so till they pass out.
I don't like to do it till they pass out, but just like just close. Before. So I'm CPR first aid certified too, but it's like I don't like that gets to an edge play where it's like I don't really need that on my resume.
Right. So that's a different thing, edge play.
Yes. It's you're just sometimes for people it means like an edge, like an actual edge, like a knife, or sometimes it's like edge in terms of like we are really getting to the edge of something like really dark where it's like needles or asphyxiation or something where you're like playing with a bit more danger.
Right.
And for commercial play, I don't think that's like such a great idea.
Yeah.
And it's not something that I personally wanted. And personally, I'm not doing it right now anyway, but it's like, that's getting a little bit too much for me. Cause I don't want to push it that far.
Right. So, cause there's people like that would be like guys who like either dunk their head underwater and then like pull them back up and that kind of thing.
Yeah. Like, I mean, yeah. Stuff like darker stuff. Like, you know, like a lot of the just stuff where it's like breath play and, you know, stuff like that. It's like, I don't want to get
that. You're not into
that. I don't want to get that. Because it's just dangerous. You know, mm-hmm. I'm not a medical professional.
So is there, okay. So is there like a certain like Satanism to this, or is this just like, this is a totally different thing? Like, this is just like a sexual different version of, you know, pleasing people, or is there like a dark side to this?
Well, I'm actually not that familiar with Satanism, so I couldn't really comment. Although I think I follow the Church of Satan on Twitter, and it's hilarious. I highly recommend it. Because there was, I don't know if you saw, this guy stayed at like an Airbnb in upstate New York, and he claimed it was like the house of Satan, and he was like really freaked out, and he like left, and it was like very strange, and it was like, it was just like a, like a really cheesy statue, and the guy's like, this isn't, I don't worship Satan. It's just like really dumb stuff from like Wacko Jacko or something. You know what I mean?
right.
So, so I'm not sure about that. But I mean, but to answer your question otherwise, is that it means different things to different people. Like for some people, it's just like a way for them to get off. For some people, it's really therapeutic. Like some people just like shiny things, you know, like whatever. It's like it's whatever. You know, you're sort of bringing to the table and what you want to get. For some people, it's like a 24/7 lifestyle, and like they're collared all the time, and they have some aspect of this in their like day to day life. And or for some people, it's just like a weekly scene or something like that. So it's just really different.
It depends on who it is.
Yeah.
So some people, you said collared all the time. So like they'll be like businessmen who have a collar on underneath maybe their business suit type thing.
Probably not that, because that's like, you know, you'll see that, but like they might have something in some other way, like a ring, like something that's like obvious to what they know what it means, but not other people.
Right.
You know, depending on like how you can get away with stuff. Like I have a friend who like has a ring and like that's what that means, but she can't always wear like a collar. So.
And so when people come in, like do the people make the guys like, or like you put collar on them and like walk them like a dog, like that kind of thing? Is that like a thing where people want to be treated like that? Or is it more like,
Yeah, it depends. I mean, like I do often put collars on people and have them crawl on all fours, but not always. So.
Okay. Wow. This is so interesting to me. Like, mm-hmm. I would love to just be like a fly on the wall. I mean, I know that's nothing because it's very private, but it's just so interesting. Mm-hmm. Like, is there anything with like fire? Do you guys do like burning stuff, or is it mostly just like paddles, boards?
Yeah. I mean, you can do, there is something called fire play, and it's like you're, you know, running fire on someone's skin or something like that, or like with candle wax and stuff like that. I don't allow any fire in the dungeon. So that's not something I do. My partner spins fire and I'm like, that's fine. But it's like nothing in the dungeon. It's like not safe in terms of like fire safety. You know, it's really like, oh God, what kind of fetish would you have for fire right now? It's like everything's on fire.
I know. It's like, can we like not? Because California is like burning, you know, it's crazy. So candle wax, people pour hot candle wax all over them. Mm-hmm. Wow. That's so, I'm just so curious. Like, I want to hear more like experiences, like, you know, another weird thing that maybe someone came in that we'd be like, wow, that's really weird. Like, is there any guys that like want weird shit shoved up their butt? Like, can you put this like cucumber up my ass, or like, can you, like, is there any of that kind of stuff?
I mean, yeah, actually that was like the roasting guy. He like wanted that. He's like, oh, can you, like, he brought like a zucchini or something. And he's like, can you do this? And I'm like, oh yeah.
A big zucchini?
it couldn't be big enough. I mean, you can't put that in someone.
Wow.
Yeah, because it's like not a flared base. So, yeah.
Right. Yeah, You're like, this isn't going to go.
No, we cannot do that.
All the way.
No.
Where you wanted to go.
Cannot do that. No. I mean, it's just, there's just so many different things. I mean, I had someone who wanted to kneel on sandpaper and I was just ignoring him for an hour. And it sounds like an easy job. Cool. Someone's going to pay me like hundreds of dollars to ignore someone. Do you know how hard it is to ignore someone? You're like,
he's kneeling on sandpaper and he's talking to you and you have to just
No, I'm sorry. He was not talking to me. He was just kneeling on it like he was like a footrest and I put like my feet on him and I was just ignoring him for an hour. But it's like really hard when someone's doing like an ignore scene or like a like their furniture because you're like, okay, are you okay? Is there like a safe word? Like, what do we do?
And yeah.
It's just like, it's hard to ignore someone. You think it's going to be easy.
I would just get on Instagram. I'd be like, all right, get down, fucking Jonathan. All right, feet up.
I know you would, but then trust
just texting.
Me. Just trust me. You try it.
It's awkward because it's like, do you put music on?
Yeah, I mean, you can. I mean, that's what I'll do. I'll just, you know, it'd be on my phone or something. But yeah. It's like for an hour. It's weird.
Pleasurable for like, someone?
Well, if that's what he wanted, yeah.
He's like, I just want you to put your legs up on me like I'm a fucking stool.
Mm-hmm.
And that's all. And I'm going to pay you to do that to me.
Yes. I also did a scene with someone who wanted, he was into, it was kind of trampling, but it's not really, I mean, it's trampling, but it's, he likes for people to stand on his head. So this guy is humongous. He's like a really big guy. And I mean, his head is huge, you know? Uh-huh. So he hired me to stand on his head for like 3 hours. And
you're full weight.
Yes. Yes.
I mean, you're not heavy. You're very thin. So it wasn't much.
Well, but I'm very tall. So
right.
There's not, you know, I'm very much. It's,
yeah.
I'm, you know, a solid 140. You
yeah.
know? And so And I mean, and he's like, I know it's really boring. And I'm like watching TV. We put on like Bones or something. I was like at his hotel and I'm just like standing in his head, like watching. I'm like.
And that was it. He was getting off on that?
Yeah. That's what he loves. He's like, yeah, this is great. Loved it.
Standing on his head with your feet.
Yes. He would go from like side to side face. Yeah.
Right on directly his face.
Yes. Not with my heels. Like
Right. Barefoot.
Yeah.
Wow. And just the head.
Just the head.
Gosh, I wonder what makes these people into this stuff. You have to wonder, like, it's so interesting.
Don't know. Some people have a very definite route. But other people don't, and that's okay because people, you know, a lot of people ask me like, well, why am I into this? Am I okay?
Do they ask you that?
Yeah, they do.
And what do you
say?
There's
a lot of sex shaming, and so then there's going to be even more kink shaming or BDSM shaming. So, you know, I usually joke with them. I'm like, well, do you think I'm sick? And they're like, no. And I'm like, oh, well, then it's fine. You know, they're like, oh, I guess it is. And I'm like, well, why do I like this? Why do I like stepping on your cock? You know,
yeah,
like, why?
Yeah.
I mean, well, why? Who wouldn't? You know, like, let's all do it tonight. You know,
no. Oh, my gosh.
But, you know, some people like know why they're into it. Other people like, you know, don't. I mean, it's like, you know, a dom is very sexy. Like, you know, there's like different dom archetypes and stuff. But it's like, you know, I'm wearing like Louboutins and full latex and leather. And like, it's like, who isn't into that?
I know, it's hot.
Well, most people are like, oh, okay, whoa, I'm into it now. You know, like, so it's like a very sexualized thing. It's like, you know, sex and violence, you know, these things are turn people on, you know. And that's mostly what, even though it isn't always that, because it's like fetishism and serving, and there's all kinds of other things that are in like, you know, the BDSM spectrum that aren't just, you know, beating someone up.
Right. There's the tying people up. Do you do that? I saw on your Instagram you tied up a swan. I saw the swan was roped up.
No, it was
not
a
like
flamingo.
A real swan. It was a flamingo. I'm sorry. It was like a pool flamingo. I was like, damn, the pool flamingo.
Yeah, it was actually, it was a really, really big flamingo, like the boat size one.
Yeah, and I saw you roped it up.
Well, I didn't. Actually, my partner did. And I was like, suspend this flamingo, goddammit.
Wow.
And it's actually really hard to suspend a floaty. I'm sure, you know, whatever, you've never done it at home, but like when you suspend a body, it's like it's firm. It's The floaty.
It just kept
no
moving
firm.
Around.
We had to like figure out how to do it. And I was like, you know, and she knows how to suspend a body, you know, very well. And we're like trying to figure this anyway. But I enjoyed doing that. So I do some of the rope stuff. The things that I do are more like, I really like doing things like electro play and corporal punishment. And
what's electro play?
Electro play is any sort of play with electricity. So like a violet wand, neon wand.
What's a violet wand? I have
like,
no idea what these things are.
You probably have had it when you went to get like a facial or something. You know, do you ever get zapped at the end? Like
yeah, a little bit.
That's what that is. Like, okay. But it's like a wand and you probably never saw it because it's like, but that's a neon wand. It's supposed to like,
it does. It's but like anyway. Little shocks.
Yeah. But it's not, so you just have it on your face. They usually use that like little like mushroom electrode or something. So it's supposed to like kill bacteria or something. I don't know. I never use it. I need to do it more. I'm like, you know, like Dom, heal thyself, you know.
You're like, see, you can get sexually pleasure and a facial. It's like, wow. Yeah. So you, like, it just shocks people like to be shocked and things like that.
Yeah,
like
yeah.
Little like a shock collar for a dog. Mm-hmm. Do you ever have people do that? Come in and be like, can you shock me?
Yeah, I don't agree with those, but yeah, people do that. Well, I mean, yeah. I love the electro play. And then you have different boxes. Like I use an Aeros Tech or a TENS unit, and you can just take different electrodes and, you know, put them on or into people's bodies and do stuff like that. I do a lot of corporal punishment. And I like doing a lot of things that are sort of like full takeover into someone's life. And so it's like I'm helping them with their budget. I'm making sure like they're exercising and dieting and doing things they're supposed to do.
So, wow. Yeah. So you can like, you can keep people on a regimen. Like, did you do this today? And like boss them around.
That's what I love.
And they say, yes, mistress, or no. And then like, what if they're bad? What happens to them?
Well, you know, sometimes punishment is its own reward.
Yeah, but they like it. They're like, yeah. I didn't go grocery shopping. I didn't load the dishwasher. What are you going to do?
Yeah, well, you know, it depends. It depends on what the punishment is. So it's like, you know, one time I had one of my, actually he's my long-term sub, and he was in chastity most of the time, which is why the relationship was so long.
Yeah.
Like 9 years. Hey, just put him in chastity.
In a chastity belt?
Yeah. Well, not a belt, but it's like a cock lock. It's like they're all locked up. So it's Locktober right now. So who wants to get locked
it's
in?
It's Locktober? Yeah. Guys, I don't even know about this.
Yeah. So
all I know about is No Nut November, I thought.
No, well, that's also November. So they can't come ever, basically. So anyway.
Oh my gosh.
So he was out of chastity for something, like he had to go to the doctors or something. And I asked him if he had jerked off and out of chastity. And he said, oh, well, I'll never lie to you. So yeah, I totally jerked off. And I was like, oh, okay, sure. And then I like tied him down, and then like I put a vibrator under him during our session. And I was like, okay, well, you can get off. And he's like, oh, wow, that was really easy. And then I let him get off. So he came in like the first like 10 minutes and he was all tied down on the bondage bent. And then I proceeded to cane him mercilessly from like tip to toe. He was crying. He was screaming mercy. He was like saying everything, like snot was coming out. And I just kept caning him up and down. And I'm like, did we learn our lesson here? Like, yes, mistress. He's like, that was like one of the most fucked up things I ever did to him. I've done lots of fucked up things to him. And like, let me just, you know, say that, you know, he's been around for 9 years.
So. And he has a safe word. So if he really didn't like Wow. Yeah. So that's what happens when you're naughty. Mm-hmm. It's like you get to come, but then you're.
No, that's what happens when you're fucking lucky.
You're lucky. Oh my gosh.
Yes, yeah.
Wow. But, is there other stuff, like do people like to be spit on, like spit in their mouth? Like,
definitely.
Wow.
Maybe not so, right now, but
right.
Yeah,
obviously
yeah.
You're like,
no, yeah, spinning. Yeah. I mean, there's like a boot worshiping, boot licking, you know, shoe worship, stuff like that, you know. There's just so many things. I mean, it's like, you know, we need to even talk about like dirty talk or like humiliation, like verbal humiliation, you know,
people
all
come just
things.
From being humiliated.
Yeah.
Where
definitely.
You're just like, you're a piece of shit. Like no one's ever going to like look at your small.
Yes.
I know my friend was kind of telling me about it, like small penis humiliation.
Oh, that's a big one.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. All those things. So, you know, race play, like there's like all kinds of things, like religious stuff. Yeah. There's just so much, like, you know, everyone's probably participated in some kind of form of BDSM, like, you know, role play is another big one, obviously. And, you know, yeah, there's just so much. It's just fun to play.
Has anyone ever come to you with something that you were like, I've never heard of that?
I don't think so. Like, I mean, the roasting person, like I had heard of it, but I had never seen someone who
really like wanted it.
Yeah. I can't think of anyone. No, nothing is. I mean, people have come to me with stuff that like I didn't want to do or something like that, but it's nothing Like, I've heard of everything. Like, it's really, you can't shock me. It's try to shock me.
Try to shock her, guys. Send her a freaking.
But it has to be real. You can't just make a, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. Did you ever have a time where you felt like you really hurt someone and you were like, oh shit? Like, did you ever have an oh shit moment where you're like, fuck, I actually think I really hurt somebody?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, well, I had this time where I had a client and I had him up on a St. Andrew's cross. And, you know, we just gotten started and I realized like he's starting like to faint. And I'm like, oh shit. And he's like a really big guy and I'm pretty strong. So I was able to get him down quickly. But on his way down, like he fell and he like hit his head on this like basically like a railroad tie on like the floor. It was like this wooden thing. And I'm like, oh shit.
He's dead. Like, yeah. Forensic files.
I know. Yeah, totally. I was God. I'm not going down like that. I'm I'm from New Jersey, but like, no, you know, it's like, so I'm like hitting him and I'm like, wake up. And,
wake up, bitch. Yeah.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. And he's just like, hello. And I'm like, oh my God. And it was like, it was something that happened that wasn't my fault. And this is why when I session with people and he didn't eat that day and then he put it and I, his hands above his head. And so now when I screen people, I always ask them like, have you eaten today? Cause this has happened a couple of times. But so then I had a call at my friend, my roommate, who was a doctor. And I'm like, dude, this just happened. What should I do? Should we go to the like ER? I don't know. He's like bleeding, but he's like cognizant. And she's like, okay, well, you should just stay with him and make sure he stays awake. And like, if he acts weird, then bring him in. So then he was like, actually a professional poker player. So we went to this game and we're at like this game up in Mount Olympus with all these like Russians. And it's just like, hey, and I'm there and they're trying to like place me because, you know, I'm a dominatrix and I'm just dressed like whatever the fuck I want. And they're like, okay, why you don't seem to be an escort.
Yeah.
But who are you? And why is his face bleeding? And we just all saw him last night and he was fine. And they're just, but they all have their poker faces on, you know?
Yeah. They're like,
And I'm like, great. There's food. Awesome. Okay, cool.
You're like, have a sandwich. Chill the fuck out. Let's get your blood sugar normal.
So eat before playing. And that's happened a couple of times. It's always been men.
You guys are weak. Just kidding. I pass out right now.
It's very important. So this is, you know, something, this is part of like the screening safety check of like making sure that people have eaten that day. And because people get nervous or, you know, I eat all the time. I'm hungry now. So it's like really important. But
so did you ever have anybody have anything where you were like, oh my God, he's having a heart attack or anything like that?
No, nothing like that. But again, this is like why I want to make sure I'm like up on my, you know, CPR.
Because you know have you ever had to use it or no?
I have had to use it, but actually not in the dungeon. Like I've responded to other emergency situations and no one died on my watch. So we're clear. Okay. So everything was fine, but it's just good to know that because it's like, you know, when people are in, like, again, like I've had a couple people faint on me and it's like, luckily I was able to get them down and like, you know, attend to them in a way that like didn't make it worse. And if it had gone south, I would have been able to, you know, adjust things or whatever. But and it's also like people, when you're in bondage, for example, your body does weird things. It can get really hot. It can get really cold. Like I've had people almost pass out, which is bondage. And you're just like, no, it's just rope. It's not going to be a big deal. And then people's bodies react weird. So you need to know those kinds of things too. So
plus like all their, like their head, their emotional state, like they're probably like, oh, like so stimulated.
Oh, totally.
Like,
wow. People cry. Like it's a release, you know, it's a big thing.
Wow. That's incredible. Such a cool job. Like I'm so, it's such an interesting thing. Like I was so excited to have you here and just ask you about it.
Yeah,
but it just seems like it's something that you like really love and it seems to bring people a lot of joy.
It does. Yeah. No, I love it. And I love the connections that I can make with people and people that I've met and things that I've been able to do. And it's a wonderful life. It's a wonderful profession and things. It's all good.
That's so cool. And you're like in a community of friends where you have a lot of friends that are in this too. And you guys are kind of like a group.
Yeah, we are. And it's nice because like I have a lot of friends who are in the BDSM community who love it. And then I also have like so many friends that aren't into BDSM, but they're like, they're so
curious.
They're curious, but they're also comfortable. And it was funny. I had a couple of friends who that I've known since high school and they came to the dungeon and my friend was saying to her boyfriend or about her husband, she's like, okay, do to him what you do to other people on the cross. And I'm like, I can't. It's like my brother, you know, like, because I've known them for so long and it's like my family. And I'm like, I can't do anything. And, you know, like very understanding and like accepting of it, even if they're like not into it. So, but yeah, I'm very lucky. I have like a very supportive, like, friend network and family network and colleagues and stuff like that. So, I mean, there's no like, you know, I'm not in the closet about anything.
Right.
You know?
You're very open about it.
Yeah, I'm very open. I'm very public and things like that. So
I love that. So if people want to book you right now, where do they go?
Yes, please go to losangelesdominatrix.com. I mean, you can always follow me on Instagram, but Instagram is not very adult friendly, so don't DM me there. I'll just block you.
Yeah, she says no DMs. It's no isn't DMs. It Justine Plays?
It's on Instagram. You can find me as the Justine Cross, and on Twitter, which is naughtier, I'm Justine Plays. So, but you can always, always find me on my website, losangelesdominatrix.com. And then, you know, well, hey, OnlyFans, I'm only Justine Cross.
Oh, yeah. Great. Yeah. How are you liking OnlyFans? I'm hearing people like it.
Yeah, it's like a mixed bag. It's different because it's something, again, most of what I did pre-quarantine was in person. So I'm just switching things over. So just trying to figure out what works for me and what works for other people, because I just have a ton of content, you know? So I'm just like, basically, if you want content of full length clips, like sign up there and I send you like discounted versions of those clips. So
that's different awesome. Things.
And I do live streams and different photos and stuff like that. So yeah, but I just have a lot of different income streams and I'm doing a lot of different things right now. So,
and people can book you for the personal like video chat stuff and that kind of thing.
Yeah, I do all the texting, phone, cam.
See, guys, it's just, you don't have to be completely shut off in COVID. You can
get your
jolly, you know, it's pretty fun for people. And you said couples, and you know, maybe if you and your couple, you guys are bored, you've watched every episode of fucking Schitt's Creek that's out there, and you want to try something, you know, like, hey, let's try to have a dominatrix tell us what to do. I mean, like, you can do that over the internet.
Indeed.
Be like, I want you to pick that up and fucking shove it up his ass.
Indeed. That's, if you have finished Netflix, it's time for a dominatrix.
Yes.
But it's also, it's not even just like about the mean, hurdy things. It's like, I'm doing workshops and things with people that it's just about communications and boundaries. Like, I'm developing a class about how to use BDSM to have better sex, but we're not picking up a single whip, because we're just going to be talking about how to negotiate sex and how to negotiate your boundaries and things that you want to do and things that you don't want to do. Because people always negotiate BDSM. People never negotiate sex. Sometimes. Maybe they're negotiating a threesome, but you know.
So like, you mean like when you're having sex, like what each person's saying like what they want out of it. Mm-hmm. And like, that's how it has to, you know, I want to achieve this. You want to achieve that. Like that's how it has to happen, you know, that kind of thing. You help people with that too. Yes. Well, it helps, I think, because of your psychology background that you can help probably people, you know, figure out things in their relationships too.
It's a trial and error. I'm like, learn from my mistakes and, you know, learn is here's what works, you know, so. Yeah.
Wow. Oh my God. I've loved having you here. I can't believe we already did an hour of talking to you. It felt like it flew by.
Time flies when you're hanging out with like, you know, hot blondes and leopard.
Hey. I love it. I know. I'm like so lame. Like, I'm like, shop. This is from Shop Dalmata. Shout out to them. And guys, I'm going to tag everything that, you know, Justine has going on, so you guys can go check her out, book her, you know, if you want to, you know, get into this world, or if you're curious. I mean, fuck, it's like, this is like a fun Friday night thing, you know, like, get together with your friends, like book a dominatrix and learn all the little secrets. And it's such an interesting world, honestly. Like, I was so curious and I was so glad to have you here.
Oh, thank you. Yeah. Well, we'll keep the conversation going.
Yes.
All the fun stuff.
I love that. Yeah. I love that. Okay. So make sure to head to Justine on Instagram is the Justine Cross on Instagram, and on Twitter is Justine Plays.
Correct. Yes.
So Twitter, Justine Plays, and it's LA Dominatrix.
Los Angeles Dominatrix.com.
And then I will also put the information for her dungeon that you guys can book to stay at as an Airbnb in downtown LA. Like, what a fun weekend. Grab your partner and your whips and chains and
all that stuff, or whatever you want.
Oh, it's all there.
Yeah, no, you rent out the entire space, so you have all the toys, furniture, cleaning and safety supplies. And because it's only rented out to, you know, one couple at a time, it's really safe. Like, we leave more time in between bookings and everything is, you know, sterilized in between. And it's like way safer than your grocery store.
Oh my God. So like, what else, what kind of stuff is in there? Just like
everything. Yeah. So there's, besides all the furniture and stuff, there's, you know, cuffs, floggers, whips, paddles,
collars, leashes, everything, but you can bring your own things as well. So but all that stuff is there.
And you know, there's a little kitchen.
Yeah,
so
a little kitchen. So you can cook. Microwave.
The roasting guy, he just books it. He's like, I'm going to put myself in this fucking oven. You're like, please don't do that. Yeah.
There's ice, so you can have cute drinks and stuff like
that.
So yeah.
That is so cool. Well, thank you so much for coming to Calabasas. I know you said you're more West Bay. So this was nice for you to come out here.
Oh, thank you.
And look at your
me.
Cool outfit. Yeah. Do you want to
I want to shout out. So this latex little onesie, because when we said we were going to do this, it was like 100 degrees today. I'm not wearing pants. Hot.
She's like, I'm not wearing pants. And can we both wear bikinis? And I'm like, well, I've been eating a lot lately. So I'll wear a little dead.
I know. Well, yeah, because we're sitting. So yeah, the latex here is by Jane Doe, and she's also based here in Los Angeles. So she latexes custom, so you can fit it to yourself. So that's this. And then this bondage leather thing that I just got is by Emma Alamo, and she's based in Chicago. So she does all these custom leather, and I think she also does vegan stuff too. So this is by her, and she does collars and harnesses and all kinds of stuff. So
I didn't know latex was custom. That's so cool. I mean, it makes sense. It has to be, right? It's not like a one size fits all.
You do not buy latex off the rack, bitches. No, you want to have it. Yeah, you want to have it tailored. And it's actually for, because couture outfits are normally very expensive. This is the easiest. This is the most inexpensive way to get a custom couture outfit in latex. It's not that expensive. I don't know how much this was, because I'm sure I got the Justine discount, but a couple $100, for
not
a dress.
Bad.
You know, that you can get fit, that is fit to you.
Right. So. And then you have to use gel to put it on, right?
Yeah. Or so there's a specific latex shine stuff.
Wow.
Yeah, that's the most fun part,
Ooh, latex and shine. I love it. Oh my gosh. Well, thank you so much. And we were so excited to have you here. And make sure to check out Justine, everything she has to offer. And stay tuned next week for another episode with another interesting guest on Worst First.